1301 UTC now. But because it's June 16th, that means, what could it mean? It's SDF's birthday! Happy birthday, SDF. Making it well into the mid-30s now. I hope... Oh, excuse me. It's pretty exciting. SDF's been around for a long, long time, and they power non-radio, so hey, just heads up. SDF is having a birthday today. So, pretty rad. Speaking of SDF, I'm SSHing over right now, so that I can go ahead and then launch into Calm. Calm's the chat program we reach out to. And, boom. Alright, and now, boom, I am now logged in, and I'm in and on radio in the Calm room. You just connect over as to Calm. And now, you can talk to people. Like right now, we got X1 in the room. Aw, yeah. And we've got, let's see, M. Stoney, Stug, M.L. Smith, Raleigh's here. Listen to Stoke Sauce, Northern Lights, Ratsu. Who else? Northern Lights, oh yeah. And Handy C. Howdy, howdy. Tobe, of course, is probably here. And don't forget, Jazzmaz is always listening. So definitely check it out. There's lots of cool stories and lots of cool shows on and on radio. In Calm, just press the equal key or go to anonradio.net. And once you're there, you can see the schedule, listen live, find out about the open mic, all that kind of stuff. So definitely, check all of that out. So we're going to go ahead and get going. We've got lots of news. We always have lots of news. Sorry, I'm laughing at Calm. But, all right, let's go ahead and get started the way we always start. Well, mostly always start. World News. Oh, and SMJ, of course. Don't forget SMJ. Welcome. All right, so first up, a disturbing story, because, I mean, we got to start off with the disturbing news. It's SDF's birthday, after all. Spanish man jailed for killing and eating his mother. A Spanish man has been sentenced to 15 years in prison after killing his mother and eating her remains. Alberto Sanchez Gomez, age 28, was arrested in 2019 after police found body parts around his mother's home. The court rejected Sanchez's arguments that he was experiencing a psychotic episode at the time of the killing. Wow, it's just amazing. The court rejected Sanchez's argument he was psychotic. He will now serve 15 years for murder and a further 5 months for the desecration of a corpse. He's also been ordered to pay his brother 60,000 euros in compensation. That's odd. Police arrived at the home in eastern Madrid in February 2019. My allergies have been giving me grief today. I'm sorry. All the stops. He's been ordered to pay his brother 60,000 euro. Police arrived at the home in eastern Madrid in February 2019 after a friend raised concerns about the welfare of Maria Soledad Gomez, who was in her 60s. During the trial, the court heard that Sanchez, then age 26, had strangled his mother during a dispute. He then dismembered and ate parts of her body over the following 2 weeks, feeding some to his dog. Spanish media says he had been known to police because of violence against his mother and that he had breached a restraining order at the time of his arrest. So, ugh. What a world. Welcome, non-functional. Welcome back at Handy C. All right. Oh, a non-existent user. Gotcha. All right, so that's sad. North Korea's Kim Jong-un warns of possible food shortages and extended COVID restrictions. Chairing a meeting of the ruling Workers' Party Central Committee on Tuesday. Oh, that reminds me. Don't forget, the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe is every single day at 1930 UTC, any day of the week, on and on radio. So definitely tune in, stick around after this show. 1930 UTC is the Dubious Goals Committee. All right, back to the news. Chairing a meeting of the ruling Workers' Party Central Committee on Tuesday, the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, admitted that the country needed to tackle a tense food situation caused by the pandemic and last year's typhoons. He also called for the North Korean public to brace for a longer period of COVID-19 restrictions, though Pyongyang still claims North Korea to be one of the only countries in the world without a single case so far. The local KCNA, that's Kilo China, sorry, Kilo Charlie November Alpha, So, fried pies. All right, not looking at comm. the local KCNA agency reported that Mr. Kim reviewed progress on some major policies, and the party's central committee set goals as part of the last five-year economic plan outlined in February. Mr. Kim claimed the economy had improved overall in the first half of the year, citing an increase in total industrial output of 25%, but said there had been a series of deviations in the party's efforts to implement economic growth. He pointed out that the tied food supplies across the country is one of several obstacles. So, we'll keep an eye out. Fingers crossed. Oh man, there's a bunch of pluses in a non-radio. Interesting. Alright, let's keep on rolling. Okay. Well, Israel and Palestine got a...
Ouch!
Yep, Israel and Palestine are at it again. Holy gee, I'm going to take a pill after this. Israel launches airstrikes on Gaza after Palestinians send incendiary balloons. The Israeli Air Force launched airstrikes on the Gaza Strip early Wednesday after militants in the Palestinian territory sent incendiary balloons into southern Israel, the first flare-up between the two sides since a major conflict killed hundreds last month. The airstrikes and balloons marked the first major flare-up between Israel and Gaza since a ceasefire on May 21st, ended 11 days of heavy fighting that killed 260 Palestinians and 13 people in Israel. Tensions spilled over to the occupied West Bank, where the Israeli army said they shot a Palestinian woman after she attempted to attack soldiers. Gaza strikes were the first under the new coalition government headed by Naftali Bennett, who took over on Sunday after ousting longtime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. What is this? Oh, yeah, this is the Dr. Demento. Cool. Alright, sorry, I get sidetracked easily. So anyway, Israel and Palestine at it again. In the West Bank on Wednesday, she was shot. Medics have said 33 Palestinians were wounded. Police said two officers were injured and 17 people arrested. And what else? Bennett is himself a Jewish nationalist, but Netanyahu's allies accused the new prime minister of treachery for allying with the Arabs and the left. Some demonstrators on Tuesday carried signs reading Bennett the Liar. Yair Lapid, the architect of the new government, tweeted he believed the march had to be allowed, but that it's inconceivable how you can hold an Israeli flag and shout death to Arabs at the same time. We'll see. Fluffy. All right, I'm going to focus. Oh my god, this guy's hat. All right, I'm going to try my best. Yeah, we'll see what happens in Palestine. It's really, or in Israel, it's just really tough to talk about and read. So, I'm going to have to focus and force myself to wrap my head around it, though. All right, let's talk about Peru. We got two stories from Peru. First, Peruvian socialist candidate Pedro Castillo claimed victory in the presidential election on Tuesday after clinging to a narrow lead as the lengthy vote count ended, although his right-wing rival pledged to fight the result and has yet to concede. Castillo ended the count 44,058 votes ahead of Keiko Fujimori, who has made allegations of fraud with little proof and has tried to get some votes annulled. The result of the June 6th ballot has not been formally announced by electoral authorities, but Castillo hailed the win on Twitter. "A new time has begun," Castillo wrote, alongside a picture of himself with arms raised, the word president in large font in his campaign slogan, "No more poor in a rich country." He also updated his Twitter profile to include, "President-elect of the Republic of Peru." The abrupt rise of the 51-year-old former teacher has rattled Peru's political and business elite and could have a major impact on the vital mining industry and the world's number two copper producer, with Castillo planning sharp tax hikes on the sector. Come on. Sorry. I'm frustrated by my sinuses. It's very annoying to not be able to breathe and tell the story. Castillo had vowed earlier in the day he would not allow rivals to deny the win of the people and overturn the election, which has seen supporters on both sides take to the streets in recent days. the son of peasant farmers, Castillo had 50.125% of the votes, while Fujimori, the eldest daughter of imprisoned former President Alberto Fujimori, had 49.875%. Castillo told reporters at the Lima headquarters of his party that he would respect electoral authorities and urge them to end the uncertainty by confirming the results quickly. Election observers said it could take days or even weeks for the authorities to deliberate the legal challenges and declare a winner. Peruvians who had cast their votes for Castillo have grown impatient. Ricarte Vasquez, 32, originally from northern Cajamarca, called the deadlock shameful as he was selling a breakfast snack of fried sweet potato and yuca on a busy Lima junction where many buses pick up passengers. If Keiko had won, it'd already be decided, Vasquez said. I voted not only for a change in government, but also for a change in the country. Vasquez said he hoped the situation for informal workers like himself, many of whom were hit hard during the months-long lockdown to curb the spread of coronavirus, would change with Castillo as president. We want this change for Peru. Socialist Castillo has galvanized rural and poor voters who feel left behind in the country's economic growth. So, we shall see what's going on. Sounds like an adventure. And this is really cool. We're going to listen to this. We're going to do
get the
this.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Yep. We're going to do this, and then we're going to play a song, because this is pretty cool. Bridge made of string. Peruvians weave 500-year-old Incan crossing back in place. That's right. This is really... I just think this is so cool. Peruvians from Huinchiri community in the Cusco region are rebuilding a 500-year-old Incan hanging bridge made using traditional weaving techniques to string a crossing together spanning the Apurimac River far below. The Quiswachaca Bridge has been used for over 500 years to connect communities divided by the river, but during COVID pandemic, it fell into disrepair and collapsed in March. Members of the affected communities, such as Huinchiri, decided to rebuild the 30-meter-long bridge in the traditional Incan style by weaving it. Teams of workers started from both sides of the ravine and, balancing on giant main ropes that had been stretched over the river, worked towards the center, putting in place smaller ropes as barriers between the handrail ropes and the walkway's floor. Last year, because of the pandemic, it wasn't strengthened. That is why, at the beginning of this year, the bridge fell. But now it's like an answer to the pandemic itself. In the depths of the Peruvian Andean identity, this bridge is strung up across the Apurimac Basin, and we can tell the world that we're coming out of this little by little. Man, this is so cool! I love it. I think it's super cool. But... enough of that. We don't have time to just appreciate nature. We've got a timetable. The Dubious Goals Committee is coming up at 19:30 UTC. So let's go ahead and do this. Hey, I'm missing some music. Hold on. I wanted to play a song, but it appears that my network-mounted volume is not accessible in the IceCast player. So, sorry about that. I was going to play some Red Martian songs for you, but can't do that, so let's try and find something else. Do-do-do. What? Okay. Sorry. This is terrible radio. We're just gonna go ahead and play, something generic that I've played a bunch before. How about we listen to... da 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 da. Shucks! I'm so mad at myself. I really thought I had that in my playlist. Oh well. Oh, I know. How about anonradio.net? Here we go. This is Modest Mouse. Thank you.
every night turns out to be a little bit more like Bukowski. And yeah, I know it's a pretty good ring, but God, who'd wanna be? God, who'd wanna be such an asshole? God, who'd wanna be? God, who'd wanna be such an asshole? Edge in the room, the crowd screams, sacrifice, deliver. If God takes life, he's an Indian giver. So tell me now what you'll tell me never. Who would wanna be? Who would wanna be such a control freak? Well, who would wanna be? Who would wanna be such a control freak? You want from me, you deserve it all. Nine times out of ten, our hearts just get dissolved. Well, I want a better place, or just a better way to fall. But one time out of ten, everything goes perfect for us all. Want a better place, or just a better way to fall.
Here we go.
If God controls the land and disease, keeps a watchful eye on me. If he's really so damn mighty, well, my problem is I can't see. Well, who would wanna be? Who would wanna be such a control freak? Well, who would wanna be? Who would wanna be such a control freak?
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That is 100% correct. You are listening to Anon Radio. And this is news to me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. We spend about 30 minutes every day before the Dubious Goals Committee talking about the news. Usually, it's the
world news.
And then we run out of time. But, you know, we'll keep on going. And going. That'll be all right. The name of that song was Bukowski from Modest Mouse. So I'll put that. Yeah, Bukowski. That's correct. It's Bukowski by Modest Mouse. And yeah, if you haven't listened to Modest Mouse, or at least not their back catalog, they have a lot of good music that never made it to the radio. So it's definitely worth checking out. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. All right. Well, it is SDF's birthday, so if you head over to tubenix.org, you can watch a little video. It's a minute long. It's a happy birthday video, so definitely check that out after the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. But let's knock these headlines out. We gotta go.
Not enough time.
But we're gonna give it a shot. All right, here we go. First up, Germany is going to withdraw a platoon from NATO mission in Lithuania. Germany's recalled a platoon from a NATO mission in Lithuania after reports emerged of troops engaging in racist and anti-Semitic behavior, as well as sexual assault. The allegations were first published by Der Spiegel News magazine on Monday. Announcing the decision on Twitter, German Defense Minister Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer said the misconduct would be punished with all severity. Four German soldiers were initially withdrawn as part of the investigation. The troops were in Lithuania as part of NATO's Enhanced Forward Presence, a mission which trains local soldiers as a deterrent against Russia and a number of Eastern European countries. The misconduct of some soldiers in Lithuania is a slap in the face of everyone who works in the Bundeswehr, German army, day after day to serve the security of our country, Ms. Kramp-Karrenbauer tweeted on Wednesday. Yeah, Bundeswehr. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. But oh man, that reminds me. Used to, you would have. There's a German. There's two German stories for you. One, St. Pauli's beer is a beer that has its mascot are some German women in like this traditional getup that have large breasts and they carry big mugs of beer. And then, used to, they would send Pauli's girls out in a van and people would show up. Boom. Oh, hey, Mayuresh. Thanks for checking out the show. Thanks for being here. So the St. Pauli's girls. So anyway, German reminded me of my late friend Kevin, and he had a great story about how in San Antonio, they would often show up at this little hole in the wall that he liked to drink at, because there weren't a lot of people drinking St. Pauli's beer, so it was often the highest consumption bar of their beer, and so it was very funny because they would show up and then there would be it's just a little dive bar, so they would just get drunk with everybody. It was really fun. The other thing is that there is a German singing house in San Antonio, and usually they would have interns from Germany show up and they would work there, and it was really cool. So anyway, I don't know why I'm everywhere. I'm scattered brained.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
It's going to work. We're going to do it. All right. So they withdraw the platoon. Activists are celebrating World Refill Day. As plastic debris can be frequently found in our environment, activists celebrate World Refill Day on June 16th. The global public awareness campaign aims at preventing plastic pollution by urging people to reuse their containers, whether it be cups or bottles. The problem is really that recycling is not the solution. Refill and reuse is really a fantastic solution, Oceana Director of Global Strategic Initiatives Anne Schroer told Euronews. So when you think about bottles, there are about 500 million plastic bottles that are coming to the market every single year. It's 500 million billion bottles worldwide that are in the markets, and 34 billion of that, according to Oceana's estimations, are ending up in the ocean every single year. So a refillable bottle is refilled 20 to 50 times. So you can imagine that's a direct reduction of plastic of 95%. So yeah, 500 million billion bottles worldwide. Holy cow. So yeah, get your hydro flask or whatever. Get with it. Cristiano Ronaldo, this is related. Cristiano Ronaldo, a famous football player from Portugal, rejected Coke and it caused their stock to fall. Cristiano Ronaldo's removal of two Coca-Cola bottles during a press conference at the European Championship has coincided with a $4 billion fall in the share price of the drinks company. The Portugal captain is a renowned health fanatic and made it clear what he thinks is a carbonated soft drink. The 36-year-old shifted the bottles of Coca-Cola away from him during a press conference in Budapest. Ronaldo followed it by holding up a bottle of water before declaring in Portuguese, Água, appearing to encourage people to choose that instead. So, wow, really cool. All right, 8 gold miners have been killed in an explosion in Tanoa. 8 gold miners were killed Sunday in northern Chad when their vehicle jumped on a mine hidden during conflicts involving Chad and Libya, the governor of Tibesti province told AFP on Tuesday. That's not the only place stuff's going on. Remember yesterday we talked about they found a diamond in South Africa and they were like, well, we'll see what it is, but there's a big diamond rush? Well, check this out. The world's third largest diamond has been discovered in Botswana. Mining company Debswana shows off a 1,098-carat stone to the country's president. The diamond from Debswana has announced the discovery in Botswana of a 1,098-carat stone that it described as the third largest of its kind in the world. Company showed the stone, which was found on June 1st, to the country's president, Mokgweetsi Masisi, in the capital of Gaborone. It is believed to be the third largest gem quality find in the world, said Debswana's managing director, Lynette Armstrong. So, very cool. The pictures on the site, super rad. All right, we're running out of time. I'm going to focus, and we're going to go through this. You know what? Because that's what happens. We're doing this. It's happening.
Resistance is futile.
Ferocious Kitten, the cyberspies preying on Iranian web users. For years, Ferocious Kitten has been harvesting information from Iranian web users while remaining undetected by cybersecurity firms. Its espionage tools are ideally suited for domestic surveillance, according to a report by security experts. Malware is concealed in a seemingly innocuous phrase, a bait presumed intended for critics of the Islamic Republic. My name is Hussein Jafari. I was a prisoner of the regime between 1364 and 1365, reads the message, referring to the years 1985 to 86 in the Persian calendar. Except, Hussein Jafari never existed. He is merely a ploy designed to lure readers into clicking on a file containing malicious surveillance software. So, don't get caught. Watch out for the ferocious kittens. Calm rules. Calm is super fun. If you listen to non-radio and you're not in Calm, that's cool. There isn't a non-radio on Mastodon, on IRC. There's one on Jabber, XMPP, and there's one in Matrix. Anon Radio is everywhere, but Calm is where it's at. All right, so Tunisia's judiciary on Tuesday ordered the release of opposition leader Nabil Karoui 6 months after his arrest on a financial corruption and tax evasion charge. So, we're going to run through these. Sorry, we're going to focus. We're focusing. All right, we're focused. Zimbabwe reporter Jeffrey Moyo granted release from jail on $59 bail. What? Zimbabwean freelance reporter for the New York Times, Jeffrey Moyo, was finally freed from detention in Bulawayo prison late Tuesday evening after a court ruled to grant his release on bail at Zimbabwean $5,000, which is $59. Not all went as smoothly as planned. Legal representative Amanda Shil-Navolo-Vulu told Navigation had to navigate a tricky situation for a client in spite of the order of his release made public by the High Court. Shucks, man. We don't have time to get into it. Biden and Putin met and talked. We're going to restaff our ambassador posts. And Putin described the talks as constructive. The U.S. Senate votes to make Juneteenth a national holiday, which is a bit of a weird thing. Juneteenth is the celebration of freeing slaves on the 19th. The United States government had to go to Texas to tell people, hey, free your slaves, you lost. But they really didn't want to. So anyway, the United States recognizing this as a holiday while continuing to like oppress black people and also kind of allow slavery in the prison system with that 13th Amendment really cramps the whole thing. All right, what else? Volvo workers are on strike. Airbnb settled a lawsuit for $7 million after a guest was sexually assaulted. And a student was found guilty over a school shooting that left one person dead. And in Texas, we ran out of electricity. All right, well, that's all I'm going to fit in there. Thanks so much for listening. I'm sorry I'm kind of everywhere, but jeepers, creepers. Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow